Hey guys, it's Kiki and I'm here to review season 5, episode 11 of OWN's Ready to Love. This episode is called A Reason, A Season, or A Lifetime. So the show opens up with the ladies meeting Tommy in the tabernacle. I am banishing the Omarion this moment. They're meeting at Tommy's secret spot at the, what is it, the Watergate Hotel? Yes, we know. Watergate Hotel can get their promotion, okay? But he's telling the ladies that it's time for them to let the men meet their family. Again, I'm just like, meeting the family? We don't even have concrete couples, but it is what it is. Tommy tells the ladies to lean on their family for guidance because they know the women best. I agree, and I'm ready for the mess. The first meetup we have is with Sydney and Phil. Sydney's introducing Phil to her parents, her mom, who is deadass her twin, and her dad, who barely spoke. But Sydney says that her parents know her the best and that they ultimately want her to be happy because she's been through so much heartbreak in her 33 years. Sydney, are you dating with intentions, sis? Because all this heartbreak that you've gone through, I just feel like Sydney's just been in girlfriend mode and has not found the one who is ready to wife her up. But I really thought Sydney would have let Frank meet her parents, but I don't know, something about her and Phil, I don't understand it. It's just sexual chemistry to me, but it is what it is. Phil is introduced to her parents, her mom, who really don't play, but they have this damn dog, two dogs actually. One I thought was a stuffed dog because the dog barely moved. But, you know, right off the bat, her mom is like, okay, so do you have a savings account? And she's like, Mommy, you cannot ask a man about finances. And I'm like, why the hell not? Camille been doing it all goddamn season. Why the hell not? But Phil doesn't take it seriously. He laughs it off. And ultimately, her parents like Phil, but her mama does let it be known, like, if you're a player, it's time for you to move. Like, move on around, because I do not play about mine. And that is on the period. Again, the parents love Phil. The dad barely spoke. Phil and Sydney, I don't know how it's happening, but it's happening. Next, we see Aisha and Dante. She's introducing them from her family from New York. Okay, got Miss Beverly, her mama, and her, she said, her little big brother. And she says that her family is not used to seeing her with other men because she was married to her ex-husband for 12 years, okay? They only know her through her husband, her ex-husband. So for them to be meeting Dante is a big step for her and for him. Dante arrives, he sits down, they get right into it. The brother's like, so I heard you got a 3x3 situation going on, bruh. What's tea? And Dante's like, again, Dante never fully goes into detail. And although I like him and Aisha, I need more explanation, sir. Why do you have 3 kids by 3 different women? Period. But he goes and says that two of them are married. And he just kind of trailed off when talking about the third one. And I'm like, okay, so what's going on with that? I need more in-depth answers. If I'm gonna be with you, if I'm gonna be in your life, I'm assuming I'm gonna be in your children's life as well. Even if we're just dating, that is a co-parenting journey that I need to be a part of if I am choosing to engage with you any further. Y'all already know how I feel about the 3x3, but Aisha says she's down for the cause, honey. One thing about Dante is he's very well spoken, and he's very calm and he's very relaxing. So he was able to put her family at ease. And after he leaves, they tell her that they really like him. Her brother says that he's level-headed and he seems genuine. I guess, child, if we have to have a couple going into the finale, I'm rooting for Aisha and Dante. It is what the fuck it is. Next, we have Mumin and Frank. Frank will be meeting Mumin's uncle, dad, and sister. And they are African, and they're not here to play no games, okay? They are from Ghana. The first thing Mumin's dad is like, no. Frank is from Ghana. They are from Cameroon. 10 points if you guys know where the Cameroon reference is from. If you guys know it, I will love you forever and ever. But the first thing her dad is like, why is he not from Cameroon? And I'm like, oh, Okay. Frank is nervous because he says that African dads are tougher than American dads. I agree, they're a lot more stricter, but American dads, we're not gonna talk about it. Frank enters and they do the up and down like Martin look. Like the up, down, up. Oh, that's it. They want to get to the nitty-gritty. Is Mumin the only one you're dating? And I love that Frank is always honest with himself and he's always going to make the best choice for himself. And he's just like, no, there's one other person. But, you know, I really could see myself settling down with Mumin. She's a great person. I like her a lot. Blase, blase, blase. So it seems like they like Frank. Her uncle thinks that they compliment each other well. Older sister is over there like, Frank leaves and older sister's like, you know, I like him, but I don't like the fact that you're not his number one. Like, why is he seeing other people when he has you? And I'm like, I'm wondering the same thing, sis. Like, even though he and Sydney compliment each other well, I feel like Frank knows what it is at this point. Like, you can have Sydney and y'all can be out in the club and be partying, but I don't see anything deeper than that. I feel like Sydney is the right now and Mumin is the person you think about long term. I don't know why Frank can't see that. Okay, I need Frank to, because I really feel like if Frank hadn't kind of gotten over Aisha as quick as he did, Aisha would be in the running, at least in the top between Aisha and Mumin. Sydney just coming in because they happen to know friends of a friend, it's a little too convenient for me, but the chemistry is there with Sydney and there's no denying that. Like I said, Frank left. The sister doesn't like that Mumin isn't the only person he's seeing, and Mumin is like, she understands, but she has come at peace to the point that Frank has to make the decision. She can't make the decision for him. I'm sad it took you damn near 11 episodes to realize this, Mumin. You've been trying to force relationships, but I really think the ball dropping between her and Walter is what's making her just chill now. Like, as women, we try to put things into place. We try to make the puzzle pieces fit, and we don't sometimes let things happen naturally because we are planners and we are natural providers. And I think in this instance, if Mumin was more, I don't know, ambitious about pursuing Frank, because her and Frank's connection kind of came out of left field to me, their connection would be a lot more stronger than it is right now. Next, we have some mess afoot, and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make light of the situation that has happened. I am just thoroughly confused. So when I say I'm confused, I'm not joking. I am dead ass confused. We got Shiloh and Phil having a meeting with Tommy. Shiloh gets there first. She obviously looks like something is wrong with her. And I'm just like, girl, what? Child, you look like you've been through the ringer, all right? So Phil comes in and Tommy's like, okay, so why are we here? What are we doing here? And they start to discuss how they got into an argument. But before they got into an argument at a bar, they discuss how they were at the retreat and how Shiloh had told Phil that he was her one choice that she wanted to move forward with, and how Phil didn't really give her an answer and like shut her up with a kiss. And she realized on the way home that he never really answered her, or that he didn't really have a response. I forgot to mention when the beginning of this, when Phil was meeting with Sydney, he said in his confessional, oh, at the retreat, I spent a lot of time with Shiloh. Phil, that's not what you said last week. You said that you hadn't spent time with Shiloh, but we're going to move forward. Basically, Shiloh and Phil were out at this bar or club/bar. The club was letting out at 4 a.m. and she had asked him, you know, what is going on with your decision? And he kept telling her, even after the retreat, when she had tried to talk to him about it, he was like, oh, don't worry, I got you. Just trust the process. Just trust the process. And I guess that answer was not good enough for Miss Shiloh. So she was like, I'm going to bring it back up at this club. You know, they had been drinking. Tempers start to flare. Tempers start to escalate. And they get into an argument as the club's letting out. So it's raining. Shiloh's not getting the answer she wants, and she starts to walk away from Phil. And Phil notices that she is walking down this dark alley, and he's like, it's dangerous. We're in D.C. Like, I don't even want to be in this alley. And he's like, Shiloh, come here, come here. And she's just like, no, don't touch me. So Phil literally physically picks Shiloh up to take her back to her car. And that is where, to her, he crossed the line. And, you know, she has been dealing with some trauma she has from her teenage years physically. That is all very understandable. My confusion will come later from Shiloh and Phil. And my confusion with Tommy's counseling on them, he was just like, well, let me ask y'all, had y'all been drinking? And they were like, yeah. Shiloh's like, yeah, we drank before. Phil was like, yeah, I had a shot. Shiloh's like, yeah, it was 4 a.m. And Tommy was like, 4 a.m? Y'all should have been in the motherfucking house. I agree. This is why I keep saying this show thrives when they're at a resort. You know, we don't have the off-camera shenanigans. But Tommy kind of is like, y'all haven't looked at each other since you sat down. He looks at Phil and says, do you still like this woman? He looks at Shiloh, do you still like this man? And can you both get over this bump in the road? Tommy, when someone has physically, I don't want to use violated me, but have violated my wishes, this isn't something we can get over. This is a red flag, my nigga. This isn't a, oh, can you get over it? Oh, can you move? No. I clearly told you what my boundaries were. Granted, as they were telling the story, I was like, okay, I could see Phil doing that and thinking there was nothing wrong with it. But period, point blank, both Shiloh and Phil were wrong. Shiloh was wrong because, as Tommy said, they should not have had the conversation there. I agree. But I think what it is, like we clocked last episode, Shiloh came to the realization that Phil was pulling back. And Phil, you are wrong in not having the balls to tell her, hey, Shiloh, I don't think I want to move forward with you. He isn't even telling her, like, hey, I might be interested in Sydney. He's not giving her any, like, zero communication. And as someone who would have been on this journey and made it this far, I understand how that could have frustrated and upset and angered and hurt Shiloh. I kind of low-key think that her and Phil may have gotten physical, and that's why it was magnified to hurt more at this level. But when it's all said and done, they were both wrong. I'm going to be more generally confused at the actions that take place afterwards, so we'll get into that. But no, y'all are both wrong. Phil, she told you not to touch her. If I tell you not to touch me, if I'm in that space of not wanting any physical contact, don't do that. Because if a man had told her, hey, don't touch me, and she touched him, just like last week with what's-her-face tapping Dante on the nose, we weren't here for that. I'm sorry, y'all are grown-ass adults. I don't understand. Why were y'all out at the club till 4? In a panorama? Child, I don't know what to say. Jesus, fix it. The last meetings we're gonna have is with Sydney and Frank. She's gonna introduce him to her sister, who is gorgeous. Her and Sydney don't look nothing alike, so I'm just like, where? Genetics where? But anyway, her sister meets Frank. Did y'all notice that little lingering hug when Frank hugged the sister? I was like, now, Frank. But basically, she's asking, Sydney's sister is asking Frank about his long-term goals and if he wants to get married and have kids. And Frank is like, oh, I've always wanted to get married. I can't think of a time where I didn't want to get married. And I'm just like, Frank, stop with the motherfucking pageant answers, okay? Because you be up in the nightclub, you know, looking for people to party with. You ain't trying to find no wife in the nightclub, Frank. Stop it. The sister asks him if he's dating other women. And this is where Frank starts to sweat and stumble and backpedal and pussy pop. He's like, well, you know, yeah, I am seeing someone other, you know, Moomin. But you know what, Sydney, I'm going to turn to you. Sydney, I just enjoy our journey. And although I know I have to make a decision, I don't want our journey to end. And Sydney's like, okay, but are you telling Moomin the same thing? See, we might think that Sydney has air just rolling in between her head and her brain up there, but Sydney, she be on it with the questions, and he's kind of like, okay, maybe I have told her that, but I just want to focus on you. stop it. So Frank leaves. The sister says that she likes Frank, but she just feels like a friend energy. And Sydney's like, oh my god, have I just thought that the spark between us, I should have thought that it was a friendship spark and not a love spark. Sydney, stop it. Now you want to switch it up? Like, what is going on with these people in these last minute decisions? Like, Frank and Sydney were all into each other from the moment she came on the show, and now it's the, oh, but you know, Phil and Sydney, I feel like you're on the same level with Frank that you are on with Phil. Let's move on to Walter and Sabrina. Team Walter, Team Wabrina. Again, have y'all noticed Sabrina has kind of like pulled back from Walter because, you know, oh, what happened to, oh, daddy knows where home is, but now it's like, oh, I don't really know because, you know, Walter, girl, what's going on? But anyway, they're going to meet Sabrina's cousin via Zoom because her cousin just had a baby, and her cousin asked Walter about, you know, his preference for usually dating younger women, and, you know, why is he into Sabrina? What's brought on this change? And he's like, well, actually, you know, Sabrina would be the age of my wife had my wife not passed away. And Sabrina's like, oh, you know, I didn't even factor, I think, into that. But Walter wins the cousin over after he leaves. She's just like, she could tell that he's genuine. But Sabrina is trying to already like set up the question of, did you get like a hidden feeling, like a hidden energy about Walter that he could be like hiding something or that he could be holding back? And the cousin was like, no, girl, I actually did not feel that at all. Everything seems fine, sis. What the hell are you talking about? Sabrina don't know whether she's coming or going. And again, you guys, I've said it every episode, the men were just not properly cast on this show. And nobody has a viable option with the exception of Aisha and Dante. So we have the ladies meeting Tommy back in the tabernacle. He asked them how it went with everybody meeting their families. Sabrina says that her cousin really liked Walter. Mumin says that her family gave her the thumbs up on Frank. And I'm just like, girl, no, your father had reservations. But Mumin, whatever. Aisha says that Dante really surprised her because her family asked whether this was just for now or for a lifetime. And Dante said lifetime. Okay, Dante gonna fuck Aisha and she's gonna get pregnant. Sydney, she's the only person who had her family meet two men. She says that with Phil and him bringing, you know, the roses for her mom and the bourbon for his dad, that he won them over. Shiloh just looks like she wants to keel over and die. She said that as far as Frank, her sis was a little hesitant, but her sister told her which man was the best for her. And she's not going to tell him which one her sister picked. Sydney, stop being childish. Tommy wants Shiloh to tell the group what happened because she did not have Phil meet her parents or any of her family. And she recounts the story about how her and Phil got into an argument. They did not show her stating, you know, that alcohol had been involved or that it was 4 a.m, which I know on a grand scale, they're not important factors, but to this story it kind of matters. So she tells them about the argument and Phil picking her up, and all the ladies are really shocked. And I did like that she said, you know, guys, I was not in fear of my life. I did not feel like he was going to physically harm me. Okay, y'all, please remember that Shiloh said that. One more time for the people in the back. Shiloh was not in the fear of her life, okay? And she did not ever feel like Phil was going to harm her. All right, so Sydney says that she is shocked, and you know, she says that that's just not the person that she knows Phil to be. And I was like, now, Sydney, I've been rocking with you this whole time. Please don't pull that pick me Naeem bullshit when, you know, Dante was telling them what Zadia was doing, and Naeem is like, oh, that doesn't apply to me because she's never done that to me. Luckily, Sydney corrected herself, and she's just like, I can't picture him being that way. I can't imagine that Phil was trying to hurt you. But you know what, Shiloh, can I please have a conversation with Phil about this? And Shiloh's like, yeah, go ahead. Tommy asked Shiloh, you know, what's next for her on the journey? And she's just like, she doesn't know. She feels disheartened, and you know, she's just very disappointed. She doesn't know where to go from here. Shiloh, baby, it's time for you to go home. And as terrible as it is, Phil has played you to the left, sis. and we gonna get on his ass at the reunion, but right now in this moment, I'm gonna need you to go home. But she says that she does want to have a conversation with Phil because they really need to talk this out. And I'm like, god damn, y'all had the conversation that night, y'all had the conversation with Tommy. Women, I'm gonna need y'all to stop seeking answers for questions that we already know the answers to. But in this case, for production's sake, yes, y'all need to have one final conversation so we are both on one accord about what the fuck happened. Tommy says that no eliminations will take place this week because he takes this kind of seriously, and that, you know, I can tell that Tommy kind of likes Shiloh, and Shiloh's intentions with coming on the show have seemed to be very pure, and she is the, you know, the romantic coach, so she kind of had like a head start. But they're going to nip this in the bud because this season, this whole production, these contestants, everything has been ashy and very ghetto. So let's just put this nail in the coffin and let's get on with it. So Phil and Shiloh meet. Shiloh looks like she wants no parts of Phil whatsoever. She says that she's very hurt and she's very angry about how everything went down, and she basically tells Phil, listen, when I say don't touch me, don't fucking touch me, period. And I can see that Frank does feel bad for making a mistake, making a bad judgment call, but he claims, you know, you were walking down this alley, I wouldn't even want to be down this alley alone as a man, I was just trying to protect you. So they go back and forth on that. And Phil just ends up asking her, did you think that I was trying to harm you? And she's like, yes, emotionally, not physically. And this is where I'm confused, you guys. They're conflating two different... Shiloh is conflating a different issue, and Phil is... He's not conflating the two different issues, but he's not speaking up. You say that he was not... You know that he was not going to harm you physically, but, and this is where the confusion for me, Shiloh, comes in, what are you talking about that he was going to harm you emotionally? I think you're taking the physical action of him picking you up against your will, and you are placing that with the emotional aspect, but that, I'm sorry, the emotional aspect that he was not responsive to you saying that you wanted to choose him and move forward. We're mixing apples and oranges. We're talking about two different things. Is he hurting you emotionally because he didn't have the response you wanted and that he's looking like he's going all in with Sydney? Or is he hurting you emotionally because he's picking you up from out? Like, I'm thoroughly confused, and I'm confused how no one even stopped this and said or even asked for clarification from Shiloh. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you just said you know that your life wasn't in danger. You know that he wasn't going to harm you physically, but you're like, no, but he was going to harm me emotionally. How could he harm you emotionally? I don't understand, y'all. I don't understand. I don't know what Shiloh is talking about. And if y'all know what aspect she's talking about with the physicality of the argument in the alley, go ahead and let me know. DM me. Talk to me. Tell me on Instagram. Tell me on Twitter, because I feel like we are confusing two different issues with the physical issue of him picking her up. And I don't understand how no one has said, hey, that's actually not what happened. And hey, that's not, that doesn't make sense. How can he emotionally, and I'm asking myself out loud for the 80th time, how can he emotionally hurt you? Did that emotionally hurt your feelings that he crossed the boundary of you saying, don't touch me? Child, I don't know. And I am confusion, but they ended on that. Phil says when it's all said and done, he is very upset because his feelings on the situation are confused, but he feels like him and Shiloh are no longer a good match. Now, Phil, had you had the balls to say this two episodes ago? And I get everybody realizes things when they want to realize it. We wouldn't be in this motherfucking problem now. We wouldn't be with all this confusion and all the painstakingly like denial. Phil, why was it so hard for you to say, hey, Shiloh, I'm actually not feeling you anymore. I actually want to roll with Sydney. The spark isn't there. I don't know where I stand with you. Instead of just saying, oh, you're good. You're good. I got you. I got you. Phil, you're just as much to blame as Shiloh is. So they leave it at that. Shiloh meets up with Tommy. They rehash the physical argument again. I don't know why we're going back over this argument, but Tommy's like, Shiloh, where are you on this journey? What's next? And she's just like, you know what? I think I need to go home. Like, this situation isn't good for me anymore. This process, even though I'm thankful for everything I learned, it's just not gonna work. So Tommy asks her again, did you feel like Phil was going to physically harm you in that moment? And she's like, yeah, he was gonna harm me emotionally, but not physically. Tommy, I don't understand why you didn't stop her and ask her for further clarification. But I feel like Tommy is at his wit's end with this cast. Like, everybody has failed the assignment. Oh my gosh. Like, this cast has been terrible. Like Ashley said, this is the worst cast in Ready to Love history. I'm still confused on Shiloh. Anyway, child, she leaves and that's the end of the episode. Next week we have the season finale and I'm like, put that shit on tonight. Let's get to the reunion because I'm ready to see Camille, Zadia, and Cornelius answer for their behavior. Let me know, and I'm not going to be asking a question for Spotify because there is no distinct question to ask this week, but did y'all understand what Shiloh was talking about? Because I'm genuinely confused. I think, for the last time I'm going to state it, I think she was confusing the violation that Phil had by picking her up when she said not to with his actions about him not wanting to choose her at the end. I hate to trivialize it or make it sound that simple due to the fact that she's a woman, but that's what I really think it is. I really think she and Phil got physical. I think they had sex because remember in the beginning, Shiloh was the romance coach and she was all, oh, you know, I'm going to take care of you. You know, when she was courting people, especially when she was courting Phil, it was like, oh, I'm very intense. I'm very, you know, sensual. I'm going to do this in the bedroom. And this is, I like when my man, you know, shows me public displays of affection. Like, I love grabbing your leg and I like, you know, grabbing your hand. Stuff like that. And I think she and Phil got physical. And I think Phil realized he made a mistake getting physical too fast. And then here comes Sydney, who he is obviously sexually attracted to and wants to spend more time and wants to get to know her. And boom, here's Shiloh on the other end like, but dog, you've been saying I've been in your top for this past few weeks. Like, what's the tea? And I really think that's what it is, you guys. Still genuinely confused. I only see one couple with a possibility of making it out of here, and that is Aisha and Dante. And y'all know how I felt about Dante from the beginning of the season with the 3x3. That's all I have for you guys. Happy freaking New Year. Okay, 2022. You know what? I'm taking whatever comes at me, all right? No resolutions. I'm just going to continue living my life the way I'm supposed to. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at KDASHDIOR. You can also follow my bookstagram at Brown Sugar Bookworm for all my people who like to read. I've got some great new posts about books coming up in January, so tune into that. And you guys, I'll see you for the season finale, okay? Like I said, they can play the season finale and put the fucking reunion on because this episode was a doozy. But I love y'all. I'll see y'all next week. And please give me some clarification if I missed something about this whole emotional, not physical argument, okay? See y'all next time. Bye.